All right. I'm here at the Dragonfly podcast station here at the Convention Center in Houston. My name is Amanda Martinez. I currently work at Texas State University, been there for 3 years, and I'm here with a couple of guys I'm meeting for the very first time. So would you guys introduce yourselves?
Yes, I'm Larry Cooper, head athletic trainer at Penn Trafford High School in Harrison City, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful place. Beautiful place. Okay.
My name is Rob Huggins. I'm an assistant research professor at the University of Connecticut, and okay. I'm the vice president of research and athlete health and performance.
Hey, interesting, interesting. So how long have you guys been here at the convention? Did you guys just get here?
I flew in on Saturday and been busy ever since.
Busy ever since. I can't imagine. Yeah, I just got here yesterday, and I feel like I just got here and the ground's running on me.
Yeah, it was likewise. I got here around 11 o'clock yesterday and was straight into the secondary school talk at 1:30. So
yeah,
it was a little bit of a rush around
it
yesterday.
It is kind of, right? And then you try and run into
that's
people.
That's NATA. And that's athletic training. So.
That is absolutely our profession. So what brings you on today? You guys have something to educate me on.
Yeah, we want to talk about the Atlas Project.
Yes, I've actually not heard of that Atlas Project. So what is that?
ATLAS stands for Athletic Training Location and Services.
Athletic Training Location and Services. Okay. And I just really don't know. So what, are you running it? Are both of you guys in charge of it?
Came up with this, spawned from an idea that we had. The NATA commissioned the Corey Stringer Institute. Corey Stringer was an NFL offensive tackle who died of heat stroke back in 2000. And at the University of Connecticut, we started a nonprofit in his name.
Okay.
There was a settlement with the Minnesota Vikings and the NFL.
Okay.
And they wanted to make sure that we prevented sudden death in sport. The number one area that we feel like we can prevent sudden death in sport is athletic training. Okay. One of the problems is we're seeing a lot of deaths at the secondary school level. So one of the things we wanted to do was, how do we get athletic trainers into the secondary schools?
Absolutely.
And what schools don't have them? Right. So we got together.
What is it like for you guys, just on a side tangent? I know here in Texas, we've got, you know, we're at the high schools, we're at the middle schools, we're at how is it in Pennsylvania and Kentucky?
Pennsylvania, we're very fortunate to have a large saturation of athletic trainers, just like Texas does.
Okay.
But that's not always the case throughout the country. And that was one of the premises we wanted to find out. We wanted to map and see how many athletic trainers were out there, what type of school setting they were in, if it was a quad A, triple A, double A, single A.
Right.
Whether it was urban, rural, or suburban. You know, there's a lot of things that we wanted to find out, and this idea came about at the first annual Collaborative Solutions for Safety in Sports in New York City. There's myself, Rob, and Ronnie Harper, an athletic trainer from Louisiana, who was doing a ZMAPS project. It's a
ZMAPS is this online mapping software. It's kind of a Google-based software.
Okay.
And essentially, if you have a zip code, you can put the information in. You can map anything with the zip code.
Oh.
So we, Corey Stringer Institute, had called every single high school in the country. All of them.
Oh, my goodness.
24,000.
I was like, how many are there?
24,000 high schools, and we called them up to 4 times. It took 3.5 years to complete.
And then we mapped. And you heard back from every single one of them?
No. The response rate.
The
response rate there was about 10,000. So about half.
About half.
Which is really good for survey research. So then we took it and we mapped it. In this database,
okay.
we mapped every single location, but there were 16,000 approximately unknown schools.
Stop.
So in the past year, we are at 93% of the nation is mapped right now.
Okay.
So we have 19,000 schools are mapped. So we know if they have a full time, part time, or no athletic training services. We have 11 states left to go.
Okay.
And there's 1,500 schools in those 11 states that we need to look at.
And what's really amazing is that's happened in the past year, really.
Okay.
And it just proves to the point where athletic trainers truly care about what they do, the kids they take care of, and promoting our profession in areas where they're currently underserved. I mean, it's incredible what athletic trainers across the country have done to help this project become a reality.
Yeah, countless individuals in each state. I've provided them with the lists of the unknown schools, and they've gone and called, emailed, searched their websites,
visited.
Yeah, visited. Like,
just drive
yeah.
out there and yeah. say, hey, I need you yep. to answer this question for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
All right, where are you at and what are you doing?
Yeah. Are
it's, you here?
It's been crazy.
So kind of like a grassroots
yes.
kind of just get a hold of everybody.
Yep.
We hit it from the top down as well. So we had okay. the secondary school, NATA secondary school committee.
Okay.
All the district reps would then speak to each of the state reps,
okay.
secondary school state reps and presidents, and then filter down to the athletic trainers that are in the secondary schools.
How?
We really felt like it was a seamless move too, because usually the people that are in those leadership positions are well connected within their district
right.
and their state, and it proved to work exactly the way we wanted it to. And we're just so appreciative of all the athletic trainers that, you know, sacrificed their time or energy
right.
or whatever to help make this come to life.
Yeah, that's great. It's kind of amazing. Again, athletic training, networking, it's all about talking and just helping each other out.
Yep.
Right? And so they helped you guys find out. And what did you – so you have 11 states left, but what have you found out from all of getting a hold of everybody?
Well, currently right now with the statistics, 61% of
–
62% yep. of oh. all schools, all school student athletes have access to athletic training services.
61. So just 61%.
62%.
Sorry, 62.
So, yeah.
62% of high schools with athletics programs
have
athletic training services of some kind, either
okay.
full-time or part-time.
So like when I started okay. as an athletic trainer, it was less than 10%. So we're
oh
now
goodness.
At 62%. And it really kind of
it's
blows
quite
out.
A jump. How,
yes. Well,
jump in how
that's
many
okay.
years?
I'm going to show my age.
No, okay. It was 5 years. He's only been doing this 5 years. He's a young one.
But, the data that was being used before was always 37, 39, 40%. Well, you know, we've shown that there's way more than that currently, but we
right.
still have a lot of work to do. And that's one of the reasons why we're collecting this data, going to drill down a little bit more and continue with a phase two and a phase three.
Okay.
We've done the mapping. The most important thing for us right now is to have athletic trainers in the secondary schools complete the survey. And
okay.
it's about a five to 10 minute survey, no longer than 10 minutes. And then ask some questions that will help us. And I'll let
okay.
Rob explain some of those questions
yeah.
because.
So what are you looking for with those? Yeah. What questions are you asking? Here's
yes.
your plug to try and get these athletic trainers at high school. Come on, guys.
Yeah. So what we have is a Qualtrics system based web based survey
sure.
platform. And these athletic trainers are asked, how are you employed? Do you work full time at the school? Meaning, are
okay.
you there 30 hours a week, five or greater than or equal to 5 days a week,
okay.
greater than or equal to 10 months a year? And do you provide services to one school? So
okay.
you can't be providing full time services at
two different places, right?
So what we do is we ask them how they work. And then, are you a school district employee? Are you an
okay.
employee with teaching responsibilities? Are you hired through a hospital,
Absolutely.
Clinic? University.
Right. Are you like
so,
an outreach base?
Yep,
or an
are
independent
you
contractor.
Independent? Yep. You're right.
And right now, majority of the data is showing that 51% of
uh-huh.
athletic trainers are employed through a medical, university, or clinic setting. So
oh, okay.
We're starting to know, and it varies widely from state to state.
Okay, I was just about to ask.
Like New
is
Jersey,
every state like that? Or
like New Jersey, it's all through the school district. Almost 90% is through a school district.
Same with Texas.
Okay.
And you go over to another state, Virginia, for example,
okay.
or Connecticut, it's all through clinics and hospitals and universities.
Really?
So you can now see how we can start strategically working with school boards,
right.
school
to
you know,
try
districts,
and expand and
to
hire
try and
more
expand.
Athletic trainers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it takes about 5-10 minutes, like Larry Cooper said here. And, you know, we ask what sports do you cover
okay.
as well. So we're getting an idea how many student athletes in your school. How many years have you been certified or licensed?
Okay.
You know, I know California doesn't have licensure right now, but they will soon.
Right.
So
it's changing.
But we're only as good as the last survey that someone took. So we're
okay.
asking that people take it annually.
Okay.
And so every year we're hoping that they log in and take that. And we've made some great strides to
okay.
ensuring that.
Okay. What is that year marker? Are we trying to get people every May or every August?
That's a great question.
No.
So we teamed up with the BOC.
Okay.
And if you go to log on to enter your CEs.
Okay.
And you have put in your membership information that you work at a secondary school, you'll have a reminder to go to the Atlas survey.
Gotcha.
And take the survey.
Hey guys, when you log in, there's a reminder, and absolutely do the survey because it's really only going to help us.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we want it to become is every year, whether it's the beginning of the school year or at the end of the reporting cycle, that you take that survey so we can keep that information, you know, up to date. You know, it's very critical that it becomes a living, breathing document, and we get everybody to do this every year.
As annually. It's ever-changing. That makes sense. It's not just because, like you guys are saying, things have changed from 5-10 years ago, and things are absolutely changing as more athletic trainers get hired and
right. You might,
jobs.
You know, one year you might have one athletic trainer, and then you might have two, and then we know this one school in Arkansas just hired their fifth athletic trainer, which, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been unheard of. So
is it a large school? Like one
yes,
of these,
it's the largest school in Arkansas.
Okay.
But and they have no teaching responsibilities. They're full-time athletic trainers.
Wow, how are they getting away with that?
And, well, it's interesting. I had a conversation this morning with the gentleman that works there, and they bought a $3.2 million Jumbotron to replace the Jumbotron they already had in their stadium. He said,
of course.
Before the next day, I sent an email to my superintendent and said, all I'm asking for is $45,000.
Right.
An entry-level athletic trainer. Can you please give us that?
Right. You just got this massive Jumbotron. So
the next day?
Done.
They got
Stop.
It.
Stop.
Yes.
That
so
is exciting.
Sometimes it's timing, you know, to add that athletic trainer. Sometimes it's just pure luck.
Huh.
But sometimes it's data-driven decisions. And I think that's what the emphasis for Atlas. That's what we're trying to do. To provide this data, this documentation, surveys, that information that we can provide to athletic trainers, administrators, state high school athletic associations.
And it's available to us. How is it available to us if we're going to try again? And, hey, this is what New Jersey is doing, and this is what we're trying to – maybe this will help me hire somebody else.
Yep. So the link to take the survey or to view the maps is through the Corey Stringer Institute website. So it's KSI.UConn.edu/Atlas, ATLAS, and you'll see you can log in, retake the survey if you haven't taken it in a while,
Absolutely.
Or look at your state's current map. It's also a directory too. Like Larry Cooper's information for Penn Trafford High School is up on, so I can click on it and I can see what his cell phone number, if he chooses to
disclose his
cell phone number, his email, how many athletes he has at his school. And you know, from a healthcare perspective, that's pretty important. If I'm new to Pennsylvania, and I've just, you know, come down the street and I'm taking care of his athletes that has a concussion, that I want to inform him or let him know, or I'm coming to visit his school, it can be used in that manner too.
Have you found that that's worked for anybody? Has anybody come out and told you guys, like, you know, we actually use this data and it helped me in this situation, or I'm so
numerous
thankful.
Times it's helped already to elevate athletic healthcare. Where someone was traveling out of state, they didn't know the athletic trainer. There was an injury at that tournament, and they went on the Atlas map, found that person, contacted them. So that's one of the purposes of this entire Atlas project.
Wow, I didn't even think about it that way. In addition to just trying to figure out where everybody is and growing, that's
the other huge piece is that we are ready. Like at a moment's notice, I can provide a detailed, in-depth report to any of our state leaders or to the NATA. So I can give the district leaders a report on all their states and where they're going.
So they call you right now. They send you an email. Hey,
yeah, they'll have it in 5 minutes. And they all know that because I've been doing it for the last year with them. You know, or Arkansas, for example, they had a legislative bill that was severely threatening the athletic trainer's ability to practice.
Absolutely.
And I am literally giving a presentation, an update to the NATA Secondary School Committee on a phone call with PowerPoint up. And Jason Cates is calling and taking screenshots of the information and sent it directly to his legislator. And they've combated the bill.
Yes, so, I know. That was a huge win.
Yeah. But the legislators asked, how many people is this influencing? How many student athletes? How many students, how many schools, how many people with jobs? And he was able to provide that information because of this project.
That's great. That's great.
You know, it's real time, data driven decisions.
Right.
And, you know, we're very fortunate that all the secondary school athletic trainers found the importance of this and have really, you know, bought into it. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So do they, so you're finding all these people were doing this every year. Anything else specific you're trying to do with this other than?
Well, I think phase two, we want to kind of drill down a little bit deeper. One of the questions that we asked before was about EAPs. Do you have a venue-specific EAP that's practiced every year? And while we might think is that
the hint practiced every year, because we have them.
We might think that that should be 100%, but the survey showed that it's not. Another question.
What percentage we're actually doing?
About 85. The other question was, who is your supervising physician? And you'd feel like everybody should have a supervising physician.
Absolutely.
That's not the case in every state.
In order for us to practice Texas, we have to have that. And I know who mine is, and I have my, you know, letter of orders in my office.
Same in Pennsylvania.
In Connecticut as well.
Same in Connecticut. So, you know, what we found is maybe we can help some of these state athletic training associations focus their energy on improving that, which would obviously elevate athletic health care.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah, so we've actually taken this is really interesting, and we're presenting tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
At 9:45, there's a session looking at the value of the secondary school athletic trainer. And what we did is we took the Atlas data, part-time, full-time, no ATs, and we overlaid it with secondary insurance data from 250,000 claims from four different major insurance providers, some of them here at the convention.
Okay.
And we overlaid that information, and you can see the claims, the rate of claims,
right,
and the dollar value of those claims.
Interesting.
Processed. And if you know anything about secondary school and secondary insurance.
Secondary insurance.
After 3 years, if your claim rates are up higher than they it's actuarials
brutal.
Anticipated,
absolutely.
Your premiums go up
yes.
as well.
Yes.
So
well, if, even hear about that at my level. Absolutely.
So
watch
our,
what you're doing.
Yeah. So our theory and our the thing that we're promoting is that if you have a full-time athletic trainer who's conducting rehabs on site, who isn't referring out as much as maybe a part-time or someone who's through a clinic that might be required to refer, et cetera. And you're conducting those rehabs in-house, you're saving the parent money. You're saving the insurance company money because that's less claims that they have to pay out.
Right.
And you're saving the school money in the long term.
So you're welcome.
Yes. But those three those entities are in silos and they don't really care about each other.
Right.
So we're going to present about that tomorrow and we're going to show some of that data for the first time. So we're justifying the value of the AT from the insurance perspective.
Interesting.
That's not.
And you've been able to quantify it too? I mean, not that you're going to guys tell me what you're going to present in tomorrow, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're essentially, you can see the comparisons for yourself, what a full-time athletic trainer, the reduction in claim rates and dollars that they save compared to a part-time or none. And then we did it by the type of referral. So, you know, outpatient care, you know, specialty visit,
x-rays
ER visit, transport to the hospital.
I'd like to think that one goes down completely.
Yeah.
Significantly.
So when I was fortunate enough to be in that meeting that we talked to the insurance companies, and one of the things that they were surprised at is that we take care of post-operative surgical rehabilitation.
Right.
And I said to them that I had done 10 ACLs from post-surgery all the way through.
Absolutely, until they come all the way back.
They said that each one of them saves them $10,000.
Ooh, I'm going to make sure I let my boss know that number right there.
And so, you know, that right there speaks volumes to them.
You know? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? It's something we do on a regular basis. We never give it a second thought. But these insurance companies are looking and they're like, whoa, these guys are saving us a ton of money.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. If you can't tomorrow say what your value is, if you can't prove that to your boss, to your school board, to your parents, you can't show those outcomes, and I'm talking dollars.
Right.
That's business. That's how things work.
Absolutely.
If you can't
show
that,
the bottom line.
Not just, he's helped me so much, or she's helped me so much with my injury, and now I'm playing again. Like, that's not going to cut it. Okay? You need to show them the worth and that it's an investment, and that's what we're trying to do. So the Atlas Project fuels these other projects.
That's
the insurance
awesome.
Project is one of them.
Okay.
And we hope to expand upon
and that insurance project is going to be irregardless of whatever level you're at. So, like, again, so I'm not secondary. I'm at collegiate level. However, I'd love to be able to prove my worth to my AD after four ACL surgeries I brought kids back from.
And,
you know?
And that's just one particular injury, one particular
situation. Let alone the tendonitises or the concussions and the time that you spent.
The only other area that we haven't explored yet and we haven't talked about here is the elephant in the room, and that's the catastrophic or the long-term disability case. Okay, but I don't know how much those lawsuits are.
Right.
Right. There's gag orders on all those things. So I don't ever get to see how much that is. We could probably guess it's somewhere maybe 100,000 to 2 million.
Yeah,
maybe,
easily.
Right?
Easily.
But guess what? The insurance company, and this sounds horrible, the insurance company would rather someone die than someone on long-term disability.
Absolutely. So you
because
have to pay
there's
out
a
and
payout,
help them live.
Right? Versus having to pay for that person for the rest of their life for an injury they sustained on your field because of playing football or hockey or soccer or basketball, you know?
Right.
So you have to be able to justify that worth tomorrow. And the Atlas Project, insurance, and others, they feed this information.
Fantastic.
So we're just trying to keep athletic trainers in schools, make sure they don't lose their jobs, educate them on how they can show their value, and improve services in schools that don't have good, you know, let's say budget's a problem. If you can afford to field a football squad, or if you can afford to have an athletics training program, there is no reason you can't afford an athletic trainer.
Absolutely,
On the other side of that, if you're going to buy new uniforms and you have a rotation, extend it 1 year and use that money to hire an athletic trainer. Because I'm telling you, schools pay big money, top dollar for these uniforms nowadays.
These kids look nice and pretty while they're on the field.
Yep.
And one last thing here. So the NFL NATA grant initiative. Have you heard about that program?
Vaguely.
So we
go
launched
ahead and let
it.
Us know.
KSI, we're the managers of the program on behalf of the NFL. And what we did was there are four states. Arizona.
Illinois.
Oklahoma.
Okay.
And
anybody else?
Oregon.
There we go. So those four states were targeted for this grant program, and schools without athletic trainers, were able to apply for funding through the NFL and the NATA to be given a grant to have an athletic trainer for 3 years.
Okay.
And they would provide them with the grant dollars to be able to have that AT in that setting. And our job is to make sure that AT the school takes over the financial burden of the AT after 3 years, you're essentially getting a 3-year loan, right? And you gradually need to take over that amount.
And we're hoping that, you know, you put an athletic trainer in there, they're going to show their value, and they're going to show what they can do, the skill set they provide, help everybody out. And then at the end of 3 years, that money's dried up. The parents, the athletes, the coaches are all saying, oh, we have to have this athletic trainer.
We have to have this person back.
Yeah, we really need them.
But you know how we identified the schools?
Atlas.
From Atlas. So, I see. It's all coming full circle.
Yep,
Got it.
So that's the great things that Atlas is doing. We encourage people to keep, you know, filling out the survey. I hope it becomes a common thing that every secondary school AT does every year.
Absolutely. You know? I feel like I'm going to go back and talk to my friends about it and see, hey, are you guys filling out this Atlas survey? I've got it for you.
I think it's important that you do that no matter what setting you're employed at. If you know somebody that works in a secondary school setting, please encourage them to do that, to complete, make sure they're mapped, make sure the information is
mapped and current.
And current on the survey.
Yep. Fantastic. This has been really interesting. I really had no idea about this stuff, and it's fantastic. So as we wrap up, if you guys want to just give, again, your names and maybe some contact information, whatever you're willing to give in case somebody listening wants to get a hold of you guys.
Yeah, I'm Larry Cooper. I work at Penn Trafford High School in Harrison City, Pennsylvania. My email is CooperL@PennTrafford.org.
And my name is Robert Huggins, and I'm at the Corey Stringer Institute at the University of Connecticut. My email is robert.huggins, H-U-G-G-I-N-S, @UConn.edu, and our website is ksi.ucon.edu.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, guys. It was
Thank
really
you.
A pleasure
appreciate,
to meet you guys.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.